Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. All praise be to the Lord God Almighty. I'm your host, Larry C. Barge. LICICS, Master Coach, Life in Crisis Impact and Change Solution, Coach and Service, Master Coach, and Instructor. LICICS Show Sessions 5. This is the LICICS Show Session 5. Youth Boys in Crisis Mode. 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 That's what we're dealing with today here in the studios of LBN. Youth Boys in Crisis Mode, or Youth Boys in Crisis Mode. Oh, there's so much going on in the world right now. I don't even think I got to answer that question. Fathers are afraid that little Tom gonna say to him one day. Fathers are terrified right now with youth boys and especially with young preteens and teen and pre-adult teens and boys, especially if that's their only son. Fathers are terrified right now that one day little Tom gonna say, my name is no longer little Tom, Daddy. My name is Tomisha. Or that little Sam Jr. gonna come to Sam Sr. one day and say, Daddy, my name is no longer Sam Jr. It's Samantha. That's a crisis all in itself. Not to poke fingers or mess with anybody, just telling the truth. That's a crisis going on. Loss of identity and people trying to find themselves. Even the youth are trying to find themselves. The teens and the pre-adult teens and the teenagers and the pre-teenagers. And there's some adults trying to find themselves. There are some older adults trying to find themselves. So we live in a world that at different times for different people, everybody is not in the same crisis. Everybody's not facing the same thing, or everybody's not going through the same thing. But you better believe crises are real. Your crisis might not be my crisis, and my crisis not be your crisis. Your family crisis might not be the next family, might not be the family next door crisis. But you better believe at some point, at some time, every family, every mother, every father, every son, every daughter, every brother, every sister gonna deal with some form of crisis in their lives. There, it's impossible to live this life without facing crisis when we live here in the earth. Now, if you want to live perfect, you want to live a perfect life, a life free of all that, you're going to have to go to heaven with God. But as long as you're on this turbulent earth, as long as you're here with this society of people, this world we live in now, with the people in it that are in it now, you might as well buckle your seatbelt and get ready for the ride of your life. Because you're talking about dealing with multiple complex personalities, ideas and theologies and radicalism and ideologies and all kind of stuff going through the mind of people, and what they want and what they want to do, perversion and sin and iniquities and transgressions and rights. And yeah, you might as well buckle up your seatbelt. This going to be a bumpy ride here. If you're living at this time, and if you're living in this world we live in now, and you want everything to be perfect, you might as well forget that. somebody's going to break your heart. Somebody's going to turn against you. Somebody's going to, and sometimes people will put you in crisis mode. Sometimes your son, oh, I know. I got 30, almost 30 years tied up in marriage and three different sets of kids. I personally have only four children, but my first two wives, they had children. My first wife had two boys, young boys, so I know about youth. My second wife had a young girl, and then she had a girl for me. And I have three girls and a boy in my last marriage. So I am well seasoned in raising children. And I youth, teens, toddlers, babies, seen about a lot of babies. Oh, Jesus, seen about a lot of babies. Toddlers, boys, girls. I was looking at my daughter this morning. She's 9 years old. I was looking at her. Had to take pictures today. Wanted a ponytail on her head. I said, oh, God. Jesus, I got to put the ponytail. Got in the mirror. I did what I could, but she left here with a... I did it. The one thing about me, I'm going to try. I'm going to try. My baby said she wanted a ponytail. Daddy going to give her a ponytail. Now, whether the pin's in there right, I leave that for the woman to discover. But that ponytail is up there, and it ain't going nowhere. So I'm very seasoned in raising children. And, yes, youth boys are in crisis mode. Make no mistake about it. They are in crisis mode. When you look at what's going on, which when you look at the expansion of knowledge and technology and what has opened up to our young people, we know that the internet is full of all kind of things. Porno is off the change. But what's so sad about it, our children can get access to it. It's everywhere. There is so much out there for our children, especially our youth boys. It's scary, man. And then we cannot forget about the games and the initiation and the inductions into game. And we can't forget about boys. Troubling boys or boys looking for acceptance and love, and they fall prey to gangs. Yes, there are a lot of issues. There are a lot of things that can cast a young boy into crisis mode. I was going to school one day to take my daughter some food, and I saw them bringing a preteen boy. Looked like he might have been 16. No, he was a teenager. So like he might have been 16, 17. They was bringing him out, two deputy sheriffs walking him out to school. Young boy. I said, dog. Another time I went out to the school, this little young fellow, a youth, I don't know if the teacher was taking him to the principal or what the deal, but, man, he snatched away from her and he took off. And they had to try to find him. He was hiding. And I said to myself, our young people are at risk. Rebellion. Some are rebellious. They are hard-headed. They won't listen. They are high-minded. They are. Some of our children are out of control. And we can't. They won't listen. They won't listen to sound advice. They won't listen to sound wisdom. So it's nothing up ahead but trouble. Nothing up ahead but trouble. But today, I inform you, if you are one of those people living in a world with lollipops and tulips and flowers, and the sun shines bright on your world every day, and there is no racism in the world, hatred and bitterness, and there is no drug and no molestation and no pedophilism toward our young people, and in your crazy, in your world, I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's in Totopia or Jalopia or where your world at. But there is no craziness in your world. There's nobody molesting boys and raping young boys and nobody killing young people. Nobody getting them on drugs and they're not running away in your world. The flowers are beautiful. The tulips are beautiful. The roses smell good. The bees are singing. The birds are singing. The bees are beezing. Oh, man, everything is fine. Every race is getting along. People love one another. That's your world. That's your world of Totopilla or Fallopia or Cotopia or whatever you want to call it. But in the United States of America, that ain't the real world, baby. That's not the real world. Our youth are in trouble. Our youth are in crisis. You can bury your head in the sand and act like there's nothing out there that can alter the life of your young boy. And I'm telling you now, ostrich, get your head out the sand and look around and be on guard, because there is plenty out there to deter, to alter, to derail your young junior or your young boy. The pedophile thing is crazy, man. It is off the chain. Sex trade. Oh, no, they're not taking little boys. They're just getting girls. Oh, they're taking boys, too, because this world is perverted, baby. Listen to me. I don't know who told you they weren't taking boys, but listen to me. When you look at the perversion that's in this world, when you look at the alteration of the race, when you look at the alteration of the gender, when you look at what's going on, why wouldn't they not put young boys in the sex trade? Back in the Roman days, in the kingdom of Roman, the high elect officials, it was a custom that they would have a young boy that would be a companion to them, and they would engage in sexual activities with these young boys. And yeah, they had women in that, but that thing was there. Now, back in the Roman days, they didn't call that pedophilism, and they didn't call that molestation, and they didn't call homosexuality. They called it a part of their custom. It was a way of life. It was the customary thing to do back then, and everybody saw nothing with it. But this is also what brought Rome to its knees. Rome lost its morals. Rome lost its character. Rome became weak. It was a lot of components in there. When you have a breakdown of the society and a breakdown of what is right and a breakdown of what is true, and you alter things and you alter it to a point that it's so perverted, it destroys nations. But don't make no mistake about it. This has been all through all dynasties. The pharaohs did it. It's been through all dynasties. It was a custom for some dynasties to have young males that the elect officials, even some kings or like Caesar or some of his government and governors and elected officials, it was customary for them to have a young boy or a teen male or a young boy that would bathe them and be like an assistant for them and see about them, but also engage in sexual activities with them. So this is nothing new that we're seeing. This has been going around for decades. It has destroyed and helped destroy many nations, but right now it is bad in the United States, and the pedophile thing is so bad. It is so bad. I've never seen so many men lusting for little boys. I've never seen so many men wanting little boys. So that spirit has magnified itself. But don't think for one minute that the sex trades don't include little boys. It's profoundly after girls, but you do have men who desire the company of teen males or young boys. They do desire that sick, perverted thing. But are our young people at risk? Yes, that's one area. I'm informing you. Are they at risk in drug area? You better believe it. Drug is on the rise again. And our young people, it's being taken into the schools. It's being sold here and there. And you go into the big cities like New York and the Bronx and Los Angeles, you will find young boys selling drugs. Now, I don't know about the country. I'm a country boy. But I'm sure if it's in the city, it's in the country. Young boys trying to make a dollar selling drugs. Yeah, pushing drugs for the drug dealers. When you think about it, why wouldn't the drug dealer use young boys? How are they going to prosecute them? You got a 9-year-old boy pushing drugs for you on the street, the police get him. How are they going to prosecute him? How is this going to work? So they're coming up in the drug dealer. So, yes, they're going to use them. Yes, they're going to use them. Don't matter. If they can get a 7-year-old to sell it, they'll use it. They will use it because it's about greed and it's about money and it's about power. And it's about strengthening their control and their manipulation and dominance over a territory. So don't make no mistake about it. They will use your son. They will use your 7-year-old son. They will use your 8-year-old boy, your 9-year-old boy. They'll have your 11-year-old boy out there selling drugs. They will have your 12, 13-year-old boy. They'll have your teenage son taking drugs to school and say, they'll have the pre-adult son on the corner selling drugs. They don't care. Age is no limit. They can get that drug sold. They'll sell it. That business don't care about human life and human sacrifice. That business is built on the sacrifice of human life to make billions and millions of dollars. That's what that business is big on. The drug business is built on the sacrifice of human life. The sex trade business is built on the sacrifice and using up of human life. So, yes, those are crises. Those are crises. Those are crises. But now let's talk about gangs. Do any of these things I call that have an impact on our young society? Yes, they do. Do they have an impact on our young society? Yes, they do. Do the gangs have an impact on our young? Yes, when they are recruiting them. Yes, when our young boys are joining them. Yes, when our 9, 10, 11-year-old boys are becoming gang-affiliated members. Yes, when our 9, 10, 11-year-old boys are carrying guns and Uzis. Yes, when they're carrying knives and they are going out killing. Yes, 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 it is impacting and devastating our youth society. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Church, reaching out, ministering, teaching them the word, helping out. Is that impacting? Yes. There are some youth that are being guided the right way. There are some youth that are in the church's program, and it's helping them become better men. That's right. But there are some that are falling through the crack. There are some where the net got a big old hole in it. And nobody stunned them, and they've fallen through. They're motherless, they're fatherless, they're street children who mother and father have a bit. They've fallen through the crack. They're runaways, they're homeless children. They are falling through the crack. Don't think for a minute that the net is holding everybody. David, the net is not holding everybody. Some of these youth have failed through the net, failed through the crack, fell through the tear and the rip in the net. We got some young people who are already got lengthy things they've done in criminal action. And if they don't stop their criminal ways, they're going to spend their lives in and out of prison. So yes, 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 a lifetime criminal, a criminal who's been a criminal most of his life, was also a boy who was a criminal. Y'all ain't catching that. You can't be a lifetime criminal and you weren't a criminal as a teenager and you weren't a criminal as a young boy. Your criminal days started as a young boy and it went into your teenage years, into your preteen years, and into your pre-adult years. You was in and out of prison. Then as an adult, you became a master thief, a master crook. I mean, you've been doing this so long, now stealing for you. It's second nature, but you are what they call a lifetime criminal. You've been out and out of prison all your life because you fell through the crack. Well, Apostle, that can't be true. Well, it is true. Look around. Oh, okay, I forgot. You're one of those who live in Petopia where the roses are real red and the tulips are white. And the daisies are yellow, and the wind blows perfectly, and the birds sing, and the bees hum, and the world is a beautiful place. No one sick, no one hurt. Everybody get along. There is no racism. There is no hatred and bitterness and jealousy. There is no older man trying to molest a younger boy. There is no perversion. There are no pedophile connection. There are no pedophiles in the neighborhood. There are no such thing as men wanting young boys. There's no such thing as porno and hustler and playboy. No such thing. Oh yeah. Because in your world, interlopia, in your world, the roses are red. The daisies are yellow. The violets are purple. The lilies are white. Oh, everything is just beautiful and wonderful. Well, I don't know where your tilapia is, baby. But that's not the United States of America and the majority of the world.
We are living in dangerous times. You got to be wise. There are so many areas here. Do all of these things impact and help change our children? Yes, they do. Does the TV, with all of the demonic and the perverted and corrupted stuff on it, impacts the mind of our children of all ages? Yes, it does. It also informs them. It educates them. It impacts their lives, sometimes not for the better. Sometimes not for the better. There are some shows, there are some things that help our children, but there are some perverted things on there that can harm my children. So, yeah, it impacts greatly. It impacts our lives. Well, what about changing? Does it change? Yes. Some of our youth grew up on television, grew up on Bonnie and Sesame Street. Some of them grew up on violence, grew up on porn, because daddy let them watch whatever they want. Mama let them watch whatever they want. Some of them grew up on grotesqueness and evil and corruption. Some grew up on righteousness and truth. Some grew up knowing the Bible, knowing the Word of God, watching Christian shows. They understand that stuff. But some grew up on perversion, straight out, low down, dirty and nasty perversion. It's sad to see a 9-year-old child, nasty, low down, dirty, filthy, nasty perversion. And out of his mouth comes vulgar and nastiness and filth. And you can't believe this 9-year-old child is spewing all of this grotesque stuff out of his mouth, talking to old, 9 years old, telling the older woman what he's going to do to her, and all of this vulgar and nasty stuff. No. Oh, I forgot. But some of us are getting to know the young. See, I know you out there. I know you're listening. When I send this out on the social sites, I know you out there, Tenopia people, Tenopia, Philopia, or Quasar, or whatever you are. You out there in your make-believe world, and you're going to condemn this. Because you're in your make-believe world, and this ain't true. This can't. And it is true. It is very true. We got teenagers that go into school shooting up people. We got young people walking around with guns. I heard this. I know I've heard here in Atlanta. I've heard at least 3 or 4 cases of young boys. They got them in school. They got guns, and they 9, 10, 11. They walking around with guns. Oh, the people with the roses and the tulips in the field, laying out in the grass with the straw in their mouth. Talking about this is the world. It's a beautiful world. Oh, ain't no such thing as that. And and it's happening in all the schools. It's happening all over the place. We got young folks going to school. We got young people killing folks. That's right, going on suicide missions in school. We got teenagers, Columbine, teenage boys going in, Columbine, suicide. But Columbine ain't the only one. There were some other ones. So our males are in deep trouble. They are in crisis mode. And it's going to take the mother and the father and the community, the grandmama and the grandpa, the uncles, and it's going to take a family. Now, because we are really dealing with something out in the streets. Out in the streets. Just yesterday, I was looking at the news last night with my daughter. And I saw at a 7-Eleven somewhere in downtown Atlanta, somewhere down there, where the manager was explaining, he had all these bullet holes in his van. And he was talking about when you look at the video, there was an older man standing there. And there are some young people around. And then there's another guy. And they got guns. The young folks got guns. The older man is fussing with one of the young people. And they get into a heated argument. Next thing you know, shots are being fired. One of the other teenage boys that walked by pulled out a gun and started shooting, put all them kind of bullet holes in the manager's van. But my point is, the young people were carrying guns. And you got your head buried in the sand, saying that that ain't true. Our young boys are still just young boys. They making this stuff up. Our young boy, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Talk to your children about drugs. Talk to your children about gun violence. Talk to Junior about perversion and crookedness and evil in the world. Talk to him about how to respect and how to treat young girls and how not to disrespect them.
respect his sister, respect his mama, so he can respect the women in the street. He's allowed to, yes. But see, don't put your head in the sand and say there ain't no problem. Mm-hmm. These young folks in gangs also go to school together. Mm-hmm. They also ride the bus together. Your junior might not be in the gang, but with that neighborhood you live in, if they ain't there, they at the school. They all around. They at the skating rink. They at the bowling alley. Wherever the young people hang out at, they there. So don't ever think your son or your my boy never be invited to join a gang. He would never be affiliated with nothing like that. Would never come his way. All them kids at school, and you telling me none of them ain't in a gang? You telling me a classroom full of 25, 30 kids and not one of them sitting in there is affiliated with a gang? Oh, it's all around your daughter. It's all around your son. So don't be naive. Get your head out the sand, ostrich. Don't be naive. I'm talking real talk here. And, oh, you got to open your eyes and look out. It's real. Danger. Yes, it's real. Crisis. Yes, it's real. Plant good seeds in Junior. Talk to Junior. Love Junior. Show him the right way. There is, give Junior all the, give, show him love. Father, be there with your sons. Talk to your son. It's the grace of God. I ain't in prison. It's the grace. It is literally the grace of God. Because when I look at my childhood, everything was there for me to grow up evil and corrupt. Everything was in place. The hatred was there. The bitterness was there. The rejection. Everything was there for me to just go south. But for some reason, I didn't want to steal. For some reason, I didn't get into all kind of violent stuff. For some reason, I stayed pretty clean for some reason. And I made it through considering the life I've had. But I know it's about the mind. It's about the choices, young people. It's about the choices we make. It's about choice again. Teach our sons about making the right choices. Teach them that there are consequences behind those choices. We got to do that. We got to do that. You cannot have these talks with your sons, your young children, your sons. You have to. And then you got to teach them how to make the right decision, because there are consequences with every decision. You got to talk to Junior. Junior, you get a gun and you go out there and you shoot somebody. If you kill them, if you hurt them, they're going to press charges against you. That's a murder charge, manslaughter charge, homicide charge, or aggravated assault charge. And there is prison time behind that. So, Junior, before you pick up a gun, really think about it. Before you get engaged, think about it, Junior, because you're messing up your life. We got to talk. We got to talk to these young males. We got to talk to them. We got a problem also with these young boys. It ain't a big, massive problem, but it is happening where we got young boys raping girls. That's another crisis there. Lack of respect for women, for girls. Lack of respect. Now, that's a serious thing. The society we live in now, because of the progress of things we're in now, respect and morals have gone out the window. And a lot of young folks don't have no respect, don't have no respect for themselves, don't have no respect for their parents. And so what makes you think they're going to have respect for anybody in the street? Morals and character gone out the door. I've been out and I've heard a young man tell her, oh, get out my way, old lady, and let me get by. See, that ain't how I grew up. That is not enough here. I was at Family Dollar 2 months ago, and this lady was coming. She had a handful, and we was walking. I walked on up, and I opened the door for her, and she said, you know, you don't find that today. It was a Caucasian lady. She said, you know, you don't find that today. I said, what you mean, man? She said, people are so mean and cruel now. People won't do that for you today, especially the young folks. You think they're going to open the door for an old lady like me? They'll tell me, get out my – and then she said, you know, they'll tell me, get out my way, old lady. That's the society we live in now. They don't care. There's no respect. There's no morals. There's no character no more. And she said, I appreciate that. You don't find many gentlemen anymore. And I said, you're true. They're like dinosaurs. I said, they are like dinosaurs. And I've witnessed it myself.
young buck, looked like he might have been 12. Older lady was walking, headed to Walmart one day. You know, older people, they walk a little slower. They need a little bit more time. We all headed to the door. He's in front of me. I'm behind him, and she's walking. She bent over. She got a pocketbook, and he walks up and, "Get out my way, old lady. You in the way. Move, move, old lady. Get out my way." I said, "Good God Almighty." She had to literally stop and let him get by. He should have made sure she got through. She is twisted. It's crooked. It's messed up. It's messed up. And what they call right ain't right. What they call acceptable is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable behavior. But now it's called acceptable behavior. You know, pushing old folks out your way, young man, is not acceptable behavior. Videos on YouTube. You see the videos on YouTube. Young boy fighting the teachers in the classroom. He's trying to gain control of his class. 12-year-old go up there and slap him. We got a serious problem. We have a serious problem. We didn't do that. I'm 50 years old. We didn't do that. And some of you listen at me or they say, "We didn't do that when we was in school." Man, when I was going to school, wasn't nothing like a good can of starch. You know what I'm talking about? Starch, man. Oh, man. When I was going, take that starch, man, and iron them pants, man, and get them penny loafers and slip that penny or nickel down in there and get that shirt, man, and put that crease in it. I like to have a crease coming down the front, cross the pocket on both sides, and then had it line up in the back coming down. And when I put my shirt on, the crease in the shirt go straight down with the crease in my pants and them penny loafers, man, and that penny or that nickel in there. And, man, that hair cut tight and that good smell good on. Oh, man, and a nice belt. Man, we were cool. But today, pants down to the thigh, draw showing. Oh, God. Jesus. But I look at these videos. Slap this man. He's the teacher. Or jump on him and fight him. See? And tell him, "Sit down." This cat looked like he was about 13. He up in the teacher. No, you sit down and do what I say. We run this. See, trouble. I'm your master coach here. That got a little personal because it's real, man. I think about my days growing up as a young child. I never disrespected the older people. I never pushed them. I would go to an older lady house and make sure I would cut wood for her for 4 or 5 hours and make sure she had wood to put in her stove. I did that. It was an old lady. I would go by there at least every Wednesday and check on her, especially in the winter. I would go by there and I would cut up wood for her and stack it on her porch so that she could have it to keep warm. We can get them young folks to do that today. They ain't finna do that. This is the gimme. I ain't working. Gimme. No. I ain't going to be nice. Gimme. No, I'm not going to be right in school. Just gimme. Gimme what I want. I'm not going to obey orders. Just gimme what I want. Gimme. See, we in the gimme generation now. Gimme what I want. Don't matter how I talk to you, just give me what I want. Don't matter how I wear my clothes, just give me what I want. We in the give me generation. We are in the give me generation. Thank you. We're in the give me generation. That's the generation we're in now. The give me. Don't want to work. Don't want to pay the price. Don't want to, you know. It's sad to go to the high school and see the teenage boys being carried out in handcuffs and put in the back of the police car. Because they know when and there and slap the teacher and beat up the teacher. That ain't what they were sent to school to do. They were sent to school to learn, not to be in there trying to take over the teacher's class. But this is the, give me, this kid on the video that slapped this teacher, you know why he slapped him? Because he was mad because he gave him an L. Listen to me very carefully. He was mad because that man gave him an F because he did pass the test. He jumped up on that man's desk and kicked all his papers off the desk and took his paper and put it on that desk and listened at what come out of his mouth. You gonna give me an A. What did he want? Give me. He didn't want to earn it. He didn't want to work for it. He didn't want to study for it. He wanted that man to change his F into an A. That man said, I'm not, get off my desk. I'm not giving you no A. You ain't steady. You flunk. You want an A? Do your work. You gonna give me an A. This is a video on YouTube. You gonna give me an A. You gonna give me an A. Kick the man, jumped down, jumped off the desk on top of the man, and started fighting man. Why? What did he want that teacher to do? He wanted that teacher to give him an A. He didn't want to work for it. He didn't want to put the time in to study. He didn't want to put the time in to do the right thing to get it. He wanted that man to just give it to him. Have we spoiled this generation? What have we done to this generation that has kind of made things go so wrong? Have we given them too much to the point now that they think an education does not require them to do anything, but that when they go to the college,
the dean and the board are just going to write them out a bachelor degree and give it to them, and they never showed up and took a test. This is the society. This is the generation we're dealing with now. Want to drive up on graduation day to the school, walk up there on the stage, and want the principal to give him a diploma, and he ain't never showed up to nail class. This is the generation we dealing with now. The give me, 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 give me. And if we won't give it to them, well, I'm going to get a gun and take it. If we don't give it to them, well, I'm going to go steal it from my neighbor. If we don't give it to them, well, I'm going to go steal it from, I'm going to steal my friends. See, they go, I'm going to get it. You don't give it to me, I'm going to make somebody else give it to me. We're talking about the give me generation. I'm Master Coach here, Larry Barge, talking about youth boys at risk, youth boys living in crisis mode. They are. It's true. They are in crisis mode. Some of them are great. They got greatness in all of them, but a lot of them never get to bring that greatness out because before they can get up and bring out the greatness, they do the wrong things and take their lives down a whole nother path. Our young people are in crisis mode. You can put your hand on the sign. You can live in your make-believe world called utopia and act like it. Like I said, the roses are beautiful. The bees are bees and the birds are singing. The lilies, everything in that world is perfect. The lilies are white. The daisies are yellow. The grass is green. Everything's perfect in utopia. But in the United States of America, baby, it's upside down, crooked and sideways, altered and perverted, messed up. Oh, it's all kind of stuff going on. If you're walking around with your head up, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But we got to pray. We got to pray. We have to pray and be diligent about teaching our children what is right. and the right way to do things, and the right way to talk to people, and the right way to handle themselves, and the right way on how to be successful, how to do. You got to put some work in, baby. You got to give some time to. If you want to succeed, you got to do it the old-fashioned way. You got to put in some work. You got to put in some time. Nothing is just going to be handed to you. You got to put some work in, young man, and you got to put in some time. Thank you for joining me here on LBN Broadcasting Network. We just did a show, Youth Boys in Crisis Mode, LICICS show, and I thank you for joining me here in the studios at LBN as we broadcast this show, Youth Boys in Crisis Mode, on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Join me next Thursday, same time, same place, here at LBN Broadcasting Network on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.